Welcome to the Reimagine Today podcast, where we talk to people about their stories and experiences of the NDIS. This is Charles Manila, and I'm the host for the Reimagine Today podcast. This is part four, the final part of a multi-episodic series called NDIS Back to Basics, where I have a discussion with Sophie Duterte from the Centre of Culture, Ethnicity and Health, and Mohamed Umar, a support coordinator for NEMI National and an NDIS participant. If you haven't listened to part one, part two, or part three, I strongly recommend you listen to those episodes first. In part one, we discuss Sophie and Mohamed's backgrounds and the concept of psychosocial disability and delve into some of the struggles and barriers cold community members can face. In part two, we discuss Mohamed's background as a support coordinator, cultural and linguistic misunderstandings, and Mohamed's personal story. In part three, we discuss ways that NDIS can improve and the role of interpreters in the NDIS space. In this episode, we'll be discussing the difference between support coordinators and support workers, and Sophie and Mohamed's goals and aspirations for the future of the NDIS. Welcome, everyone. Before we begin, I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land on which we are meeting. I pay my respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging, and the Aboriginal elders of other communities who may be here today. I would also like to acknowledge all people who have personal experience of mental illness, whether as consumers, carers, or workers. Your voices, insights, and experiences are invaluable and important. Keep fighting to be heard. Please note that this episode and the series as a whole involves discussions of sensitive topics that can be distressing or uncomfortable. We advise that you listen to this somewhere you feel safe, and if you're affected by the content, pause the recording and take a break. We also advise that you consider speaking to someone you trust or calling a helpline for support. Thank you. Now let's get to it. What's really highlighted in our discussion so far is the importance of supports and people accessing resources. It sounds like a silly question, but what's the difference between a support coordinator and a support worker?
Do you want to have a go at this, Mohamed, or do you want me to have a go at it?
Have a go.
Well, look, it's I have personal experience with a family that I'm close to, and going into an NDIS review meeting with them, where the fact that the interpreter didn't know the difference between a support worker and a support coordinator was going to cost them a lot of money, because the person doing the review was asking them if they had a support coordinator, which they didn't have, and that was the problem. But because the interpreter was interpreting it as support worker, which they had, they kept saying, oh, yes, no, we had a support coordinator, we did. And they didn't, which means they didn't use any of the services in their plan because they didn't know where they were and no one was helping them. So it's really important to understand the difference. Look, the way I explain it, and it's not perfect, it's just the way I explain it, is that a support coordinator is like a case manager. They coordinate the different services that help the person. And a lot of the time people are familiar with the idea of a case manager because they've had that maybe through settlement. And a support worker is like a carer. So you can have different support workers who help you with different things, whereas you've only got one support coordinator because they're a central point that connects you with services. So that's how I explain it. One's a case manager, one's a carer. I find, you know, it's an imperfect explanation, but I find it's enough for people to go, oh, yes, that I have and that I don't have. What do you think of that, Mo?
I think it's perfect. I think that's the easiest way for people to understand in terms of the differences of the support coordination and the support worker. Always keep in mind that there are some people that never really had these supports as well. It just comes down to making an effort to really understand and just pay attention to people's needs. I've been in the places, especially when I was very, very, very new, where I just said yes to a lot of things, even though I never really understood, instead of just saying, I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
And just in terms of resources, Charles, as you mentioned, that's something I want to highlight is one of the things we do at the Centre for Culture, Ethnicity and Health is manage health translations, which is like an online library of resources from all over Australia that are in English and have been translated. related. And so we have a lot of resources about the NDIS, and some of them are audio resources or videos. There's a few glossaries. There's a glossary that I did that explains those terms simply. And it's in English and in five other languages. But, you know, there's also resources for people who might not be literate. And there's an agency in Queensland called Amparo Advocacy that has translated everything in 38 languages. It's a really good resource. So if people go on health translations and then they use NDIS as a keyword and they enter their language, they will get a list of resources in their language. And I can only encourage that. It's not the answer, but it's an element of answer.
I'm going to take a page out of Sophie's book, Being Positive, and want to conclude by asking you both, what do you think should be the goals and aspirations of the NDIS moving forward in the future? What sort of programs and initiatives would you like to see or see more of to help the COLD community understand and access the NDIS and mental health services, particularly in a positive way?
That's a big question. What I'd like to see, and I'm not telling the NDIS what to do to get there, but what I'd like to see is that people who are in culturally diverse communities who live with a disability have equal access to the NDIS, and that what they have access to is something that meets their needs. So not a one-size-fits-all, but something that's really designed around them, and that includes giving it more time. You know, that includes the fact that someone might need more time to get their head around the system. And it's difficult because, you know, local area coordination, planners, they have goals to meet themselves and they need to get people through. And I think sometimes that doesn't allow for the fact that there is a need to spend time explaining things in more details and give people time to think about it and come back. So I'm hoping that, you know, I think at the beginning, the first plan's often the trickiest and then things get better. And I hope the same happens with the system, that it gets to a point where it can be adapted to the needs of different communities and different people within those communities, because you might have someone who is doing very well with it and someone who's not within the same community.
I would like to see, effort and space and encouragement for people to be more inclusive. Whether it is, you know, within the NDIS or whether it is just in everyday life, it's important to realize that we all have a role to play in life and we all add something into each other's lives. I see that I see the potential of these communities as something that is not really considered much, but it takes a lot of effort on their behalf to actually be in that space where they're actually asking for support. And once they're in that space, I really recommend that they kind of are encouraged and included in decision making, and also encouraged to be part of that process by talking about the potential of, you know, of them as part of this community that we are part of. Because I have been lucky enough, you know, to live in Australia, and I appreciate, you know, everything that this country has to offer. But I also understand that, you know, as a family of migrants, you know, I have four brothers and a sister. You know, I understand the capacity and the effort and the humanity and the value that they add to this country, because, you know, one is a doctor, one is a midwife, and a doctor, you know, two are high school teachers. And I see the value in that. And the woman that, you know, have raised these kids in a country where she couldn't even speak English, you know, was a lady that just come from, you know, a civil war-torn country. And I feel like she's achieved a lot. And I feel like that is the capacity that we all have if we were to be given the opportunity. And when we feel included and when we feel valued, I think it's It's important that it only adds to our, I think, a common goal and common vision and accepting of and acceptance of each other. So I would like to see that. I would like to see that, and that is not just something that just comes from the NDIS. It also comes from the NDIA itself. I think it just needs to be far more better. I think it's just it goes for everybody. It's not particularly any group or human beings. I think we just have to be able to create that space where we are able to involve each other and include each other, and we'll all be better for it.
This was the final part of a multi-part episodic series for the Reimagine Today podcast called NDIS Back to Basics, where I sat down and had a conversation with Sophie Duterte from the Centre for Culture, Ethnicity and Health, and Mohamed Umar, a support coordinator from NEMA National and an NDIS participant. If you haven't listened to the previous parts, I strongly encourage you to go back, because there are some great discussions looking at the NDIS with unique perspectives. I really wish to thank both Sophie and Mohamed for sharing their stories, experiences and insights on the podcast. I would also like to thank Elizabeth Wilkinson for consultation and guidance, Madeline McIntyre for the conception and planning the podcast. I couldn't ask for a better work partner in crime. Derek Myers from Castaway Studios for mixing, editing and recording and being a legend and making me sound better than I usually do. Tony Turchland for the music. The Victorian participants from the Cole community that were involved in the Reimagined project. Also the Mental Health Coordinating Council and Mental Health Victoria. Finally, I'd like to thank you all for listening. I really appreciate it and I'm hoping you got something out of it. If I could have a moment, being someone of the Cold community, this project means a lot to me and it's been a really great experience going out to the communities, listening to their stories and experiences and giving them an avenue for their voices to be heard. I'm Charles Manila, the host for the Reimagine Today podcast, signing off. And remember, your voice matters, so keep the conversation going. This episode contained discussion of psychological distress and trauma. If, after listening to this episode, you need support, please reach out and talk to someone you trust. You can also reach out to the following services. Call Beyond Blue on 1300 224 636 for brief counselling and referrals. Or call Lifeline at 131114. If you need an interpreter, you can ask these services for one. If it is an emergency, call 000. Take care and stay safe. This podcast has been co-designed by people with lived experience of mental health conditions. It is produced by the Mental Health Coordinating Council of New South Wales in partnership with Mental Health Victoria, and is funded by the National Disability Insurance Agency through the ILC grants. For more information or contact details, see our website at reimagine.today.